Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Man, you couldn't say it any better. All right, huge game for us, division opponent, rival game. We know they're coming in after us, and I love that. You know, you don't want to lose, but I love that our guys are a little ticked off going into this game. Like, man, you got, you know, this game for first place in the division in our house. Like, it means everything. So how we show up, what's our attention to detail? Like, we can't come back in here next Monday and talk about, oh, if we would. Like, no, we have to get this done.
Right.
This is the most important game of our season right now.
Yeah, that was D'Amico Ryans on the coach's show on Monday, and it is. It's a huge game. I thought the week one game, I said this before the season, the most important game of the season was week one, and it wasn't a cliche. Like, the most important game is the next one. Like, empirically, the division games are more important. They're not as sexy as some of the other games on the schedule, but that road win over Indianapolis, in my opinion at the time, was huge because I thought the Colts were the second best team in the division. It's played out that way. And now, Seth, you can really put a stranglehold on this division by going 2-0 against the Colts with the Jags and the Titans way back in the race right now. You know, you can go up. You can go up. Functionally, you can go up three games in the division on Sunday. Two games standings plus the head-to-head.
Yeah. And I don't. It's funny because we find ourselves in a weird situation where, kind of like with the Astros, winning the division is nice, but it doesn't make you feel any better about exactly what your chances are in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a good
So
comparison.
When you're in a weak division, and okay, great, we're gonna be AFC South champs, Brian. AFC South champs, there you go. All right, but what are their chances of actually doing something when they get to the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's where I'd like to start to see the Texans, if they really turn the corner into delivering on a lot of the promise that they have on this team. You need to start beating up on teams that are middle of the pack teams.
Yep.
You're not going to beat up on them every single time. It's the NFL. But at some point, just have an emphatic kick this team in the nargs and show that you can be dominated.
This would be a good one to do that. At home, coming off a disappointing loss, especially if you're doing that, it means you've got the offense going again. Like, there's no way to win a game that feels like a kick in the opposing team's nards where you're scoring 17 points, probably.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
Winning the way you're describing would inherently mean they did a lot of good things. It would inherently mean it probably looked a lot like them scoring 29 points in the opener against this same Colts team.
I think if you go back to the game one where the Texans, on a down-by-down basis, they beat the snot out of the Colts in week one. But there were self-inflicted wounds that kept it from being a blowout. So if you just take everything from that first game and let's say it played out the same way, except the Texans didn't have coverage blow-ups or just didn't get beat deep so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds like a big if, but a lot of it was mental. And then offensively, not shooting yourself in the foot with penalties, this, that, the other. Then it could feel that's the Texans team that you're hoping to see. I think there's probably some people who right now feel like, boy, I just don't know, man. The way they played against the Vikings and the way it all happened and played out versus the Packers, I'm not so sure about this team. I think the Texans having an emphatic victory over the Colts would make you feel a lot better about it.
Yes, fans have short memories, man. Fans.
Well,
have
me too. I need my memory to be erased.
Yeah.
I need CJ to flash that little amnesia stick.
Yes.
In my face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need him to come up to the podium afterwards and do the Men in Black amnesia stick and flash us all. Yes.
For Seth Payne.
He'll be like, there you go, Seth. Now you can forget about last week.
For what it's worth, the Texans, according to playoffstatus.com, they are fourth, tied with the Ravens for fourth as best chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
Hell yeah.
7%.
Thank you, Vegas and computers.
Does this feel like a team, Seth, that has a 91% chance to make the postseason right now?
Oh, the Texans, because of the division.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
that's what they are. They're 91%.
Yeah, no, that's where we are. We've reset our expectations to where I think it's funny because, like I told you, somebody last week said he told me, Seth, the Texans suck. They only beat average teams. Well, I'm like, all right, well, that's all right. That suck is below average.
Yeah.
So they're somewhere above average and below elite. So they're right there. So that's where you got to redefine your terminology a little bit.
It's like when people go, Bill O'Brien's the worst coach of all time. Like, well, no, I mean, he did win the division a few times.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. No, and he was. It was like he was an average NFL head coach, yeah. Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
You're still among the elite in the country as football coaches go. But still, yes. So, no, the Texans are not an ass team because they can beat average teams.
No.
Ass is below average. That's so they're somewhere above average. But they're not elite like you feel like they're capable
they're
of
being. They're the 2 seed in the AFC right now. Like, I'll remind you that less than 2 years ago, Lovie Smith was coaching this team and Kyle Allen was starting games at quarterback for this team. They're the 2 seed in the AFC right now. So it's a, and I understand. Look, maybe for some of you, we've been part of the problem the last few days. Maybe you take your maybe you take your compass gets set to how we feel about the team. I think Seth and I both feel really good about the team. It's just that it was such a glaring blemish on Sunday, the offensive line and how C.J. Stroud was chased all over the field, that we've spent the better part of the last couple days talking about. I can't promise it won't come up again because Bobby Slowik doesn't meet with the media till tomorrow. Slowik has his day of reckoning coming as well in all this. You know what I mean?
Slowik needs to just go up there today right after CJ and be like, all right, let's get this out of the way. All right,
done.
Come on, fire away.
I got to focus
on my Thursday practice. Let's do this thing.
It's actually a good idea.
The one thing I keep thinking about with the Bobby Slowik dynamic in his play calling on the last drive there.
Yeah.
And the big thing is, you know, multiple other people outside of Houston have pointed out by now that they've watched the film and everything, it was just a curious strategy of it all that you ran on 2nd and 12 where you're clearly just trying to grind clock there. And then you abandon that strategy on 3rd down and stop the clock with a pass, which is something very foreseeable that even if you had caught whether it was a catch or not, the clock was going to stop.
Yeah, because of where it was thrown. It was thrown to the sideline.
And you hadn't talked to CJ about what the strategy was at that point.
Right.
If you had been, maybe you would have told CJ, by the way, it's either a 1st down, a touchdown, or you just run the ball yourself or take a sack.
That thing is so weird.
Yeah, that's the part where it just reminds me of Dan Quinn in the Super Bowl, where, okay, Dan Quinn, defensive-minded head coach, he's got Kyle Shanahan who can run the offense, but at some point, no, Dan Quinn, you're the head coach.
Yeah.
It's your job to throttle and or instruct the head coach, and you can't let Kyle Shanahan and his evil genius tendencies get the better of him.
Yep.
So, like, that might have been the moment, like, the inflection point where D'Amico realizes, all right, I got to be a head coach here.
Yeah.
And there's some things that Bobby's doing where he's trying to dial up plays. He's trying to do this, that. But the overarching broad 35,000-foot view of things, that's got to be the head coach. And, I mean, so that's – you can blame Bobby all you want. Ultimately, it's D'Amico that's responsible for that flawed strategy at the end.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, D'Amico been like those parents who'd gone out of town for X amount of consecutive weekends. And like, Bobby's such a good kid. He never parties when we go out of town. He never has a party at the house.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he decides in week 7 to throw a rager at the end of the game. Like, okay, man, you were such a good kid. Now I gotta keep eyes on you the whole time. Oh man.
Mm-hmm.
But you do. You're the dad, D'Amico.
And they're buddies too.
They are buddies, yeah.
This is the hard part. It's like when you get to when I was elevated to colonel for the first time and I realized that I had one of my best buds from basic training he was problematic as a lieutenant.
It's hard.
And I rolled him right out of that unit. I called him into my office.
Yeah.
And I said, this is the way it's gonna be. And
strong like that.
And he started crying, and it was hard. So I turned around in my chair. I said, that's enough. You're excused.
That's why you were colonel. You can
or
make
whatever
the hard
verbiage
decisions.
They use. I can't remember. It's been a long time. Yeah.
We have the compensation in the DeAndre Hopkins trade, according to Adam Schefter. If you're just getting in your car, you're like, wait, oh, what? What year is it? There's a DeAndre Hopkins trade? Yes.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins has been traded from Tennessee to Kansas City for a conditional 4th round pick, which is just 2 rounds below the pick that he was traded for back in 2020 by Bill O'Brien. And you got David Johnson in the deal, which ended up being a negative. Good for Tennessee getting almost as much for DeAndre Hopkins as Bill O'Brien got for him back in 2020. Now I'm rehashing this.
Sean, somebody out there right this moment is crafting a tweet justifying the Bill O'Brien trade.
Oh, yeah.
Of DeAndre Hopkins by saying, see, it doesn't look so bad,
later,
does it?
4 years later.
You know everybody crushed Bill O'Brien for trading. No, somebody is out there right now doing it, I
100%.
Promise you.
It's the internet's a big place. Someone's got to be doing it.
People don't like acknowledging that age matters with NFL football players.
My God.
Because they did it with Clowney, too. It was like they ignore the perception of Clowney at the time when he was traded, and they'll say 3 years later, see?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, from the 2019 trade. So these wide receiver trades now, man. We'll dig more into the Colts a little later. We got 3 days to dig into the Colts game coming up. We've now seen three big wide receiver trades by memory. I can't think of any more that we've had than these three in the last week, and they all impact the Texans. I mean, Devontae Adams going to the Jets makes the Jets a harder game next Thursday.
Right. Yeah. Amari
Cooper going to Buffalo impacts the Texans should they meet the Bills in the postseason, which could very well happen. Absolutely could happen. DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City impacts the Texans because it just made the Chiefs game in Week 16 a lot harder. Now, it made the two Titans games a little bit easier, I suppose, but those are already inherently easier games because the Titans suck. So I guess the question is, okay, any of these other, like Cooper Kupp is on the market. Does he wind up on a team that, does he wind up on the Ravens somehow? Now all of a sudden the Ravens have Henry. Now you got to get Lamar some weapons,
I can tell as we reach a fever pitch with the election that's coming up, Sean. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
I've heard about it.
Everything is a conspiracy at this point. I've noticed basically everything that comes out is a conspiracy against this candidate or that candidate.
Yeah.
This feels a little bit like a conspiracy against the Texans.
Thank you, Seth.
This is a man trying to hold us down.
Yeah.
Yes, this is exactly what's going on. That Goodell got around and said, no, the Texans need to wait a little bit. We're going to start shuffling off receivers to their upcoming opponents.
Yep.
Yes.
Got to hold us down, man. We can't have these Texans.
They're like, is Lassiter still hurt? Okay, good. Then they're really screwed.
Can't have a newcomer come in and steal the show as a once great Jags lady once.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal the
show.
Exactly
what Goodell was saying in the meeting, in the conspiracy meeting about the Texans. So the question is, what is the Texans' counterpunch in all this if they're going to make trades? Because I don't think they're going to trade for a wide receiver, obviously, but the Texans, I think even independent of these trades, they probably had some tweaking they need to do here at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and it's tough because, we've talked about, it's hard to have a plug-and-play offensive lineman, and yet it's not that hard, especially because the Texans do things that are very similar to a lot of other former Kubiak Shanahan teams and systems. So they might come in and the verbiage will be a little bit different, but you could plug a guard in, as we were talking about, like Joe Batonio we talked about the other day. He could come in and play. He'd be better than Kenyon Green now.
How impactful is that, potentially?
I think, part of the big... As D'Amico said the other day, and it's true, Their issues, yes, Kenyon Green is an issue, but the communication stuff, and that extends back to running backs and pass protection, these guys just not being on the same page, a lot of that is just not going to be fixed by swapping out the personnel.
That's right.
Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil have been average offensive tackles, I think. There's that dynamic that, they're good enough and they're fine enough. They're certainly not worth what you're paying them at this point. But
that's who you dance with. Dance with the
Yeah. So as far as making the team right now, a lot of it just comes back to the whole entire operation. Bobby Slowick, Chris Strausser, all the assistant coaches, and how sloppy, I'll say slipshod it is right now. So that's not as much of a difference. I think on defense, a plug-and-play defensive back, cornerback specifically.
Yeah.
I know everybody wants safeties because Jimmy Ward gets injured all the time. Look, D'Angelo Ross is out there, okay, versus the Green Bay Packers.
That's not
acceptable.
You
want D'Angelo Ross out there versus Devontae Adams or whomever else. They need more defensive backs, even whether Kamari Lassiter is healthy or not.
Oh, yeah.
Because you also have guys that you're going to come up against better wide receiving cores where there's times where you don't want Jalen Petrie playing man in the slot.
Yeah.
You want an actual cornerback.
Right. And then you can have Petrie back there with Kalen Bullock playing safety because you have a real actual cornerback playing slot corner on passing downs.
Yeah, I think in terms of the most achievable thing is to get a competent cornerback. and make your defense that much better.
Yeah.
Make them just like a bona fide elite defense,
yep.
especially with the pass rush working. That's probably the most likely thing still. After I also, let's remember, I demanded to Nick Caserio that he trade for a cornerback, a defensive back.
Yeah.
And he didn't say if we turn the pick, and he said when we turn the pick.
Oh, yeah.
When we turn the transaction, and we will credit Seth Payne.
Yeah, no, he seemed very intimidated and ready to go make that trade in the moment right there.
Yes.
By you.
He said when.
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 When. Yep.
Yes. I'm not going to say he was intimidated because I don't want to screw up his psychology on this.
Oh, that's true.
I don't want him all of a sudden be like, well, if he's going to think
forced into this.
Now, yeah. It sounded to me more like, it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to trade for a cornerback.
That's true. It did sound like that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to headlines. A lot of headlines, man. A lot of headlines from the NBA. Rockets get started tonight. Big headline right now, and we'll dig into it in the next segment and throughout the show. DeAndre Hopkins on his way to Kansas City in a trade for a day 3 pick. We will get to that in headlines coming up next.